I'm going to do today is sort of become a tradition here. I'm going to try and make this very quick. But basically what I want to do is I want to talk about a little bit about how we decide what strategic initiatives to pursue, what the process is for the board approving them, and then to give you a sort of update on past strategic initiatives, where they are in this what we call strategic initiatives life cycle, and then sort of point you at some things that you might not have heard of and that you might want to check out that we've been doing over the past year. So first, of course, it's worth talking a little bit about the strategy, because if I'm pursuing strategic initiatives, you'd like to think somehow that they are connected to our strategy. And this has been done before, but one of the key phrases in our mission statement is the easy identification and use of trustworthy electronic content. And this, of course, gets us to the issue and the definition of trust and why it's important. And the reason that I think it's important is that we have to trust the scholarly record. We have to have a feeling that the scholarly record is, in fact, accurate. And Crossref is trying to play a role in helping publishers to do this. And a key aspect of trust is provenance, understanding what the background is to content, understanding where it came from, understanding what's been done to it, being able to get to it. All of these things are aspects of provenance. And, of course, for you guys, the preeminent trust factor is brand. This is what you all specialize in doing, is trying to build brands that help answer questions like, is the content in here relevant? Is it good? Is it important? But brand, of course, all of our brands are under there. There's a sort of foundation, a provenance infrastructure that we almost take for granted. We certainly, you know, have started to take it granted for granted in the print world. And its absence in the electronic world is what's sort of motivating us to build new provenance infrastructure. And the provenance infrastructure, if you think of it as sort of three pillars, the first being, you know, what is it? Where can I get it? What refers to it? What does it refer to? And the middle one being what's been done to it, who provides stewardship of it, who corrects the scholarly record if it needs to be corrected. And then the third, who do we credit it to, what are their credentials, and things like that. And if you look at some of the initiatives we've been pursuing, you see that they actually fall kind of neatly into these various pillars. So we really are trying to align what we're doing to this notion of trust and providing an infrastructure that helps people to identify trustworthy information. A few things to say about all of the initiatives that we launched. We realize fully that our core mission is providing this robust, persistent citation linking infrastructure. So everything that we're doing built on top of that, we want to make sure that it doesn't interfere with that core operation. So all of the new initiatives that we're launching are optional. Nobody's being forced to join them. This is an important thing to keep in mind. We're trying to make sure that they're firewalled so that they don't affect our core services, so that they don't somehow lessen our ability to actually do what we were founded to do. And similarly, we're trying to make sure that they're self-sustaining as much as possible. And in order to do that, one of the things that we've instituted is this thing called the Strategic Initiatives Lifecycle. And I know a lot of you have seen this before, but it probably bears a bit of repeating. Basically, it breaks down any strategic initiative that we pursue into a number of phases. Phase zero is concept development, and this can be experiments that we put up there, see if anybody's interested in it. If they are, and it doesn't cost anything to run, we might keep it in incubation for people to use. But basically, they're kind of small projects, but some of them are actually quite a bit some more substantial, at which point we take them on through the rest of this life cycle, where basically the board has more oversight and more control over what's going on as expenditure of resources and risk increases. And so we go through this process for all of our projects. Some of it make it all the way through. Some of them are bumped back. But basically, if you look at it this way, commitment from Crossref increases as we go up this chain. Another thing to emphasize is that we revisit things. So even if something has gone into production, we will occasionally come back and say, do we still need to be doing this? Is this still important to us? And so now what I'd like to do is sort of just give you a picture. This is the picture I left you with last year of where our strategic initiatives were along this life cycle. And down here we had sort of a concept development, a whole bunch of things that were queued up, just vague ideas that people had suggested to us that we thought we might be pursuing over the next year. Some of these things have kind of been identified as not being top priorities, or they were too big to actually handle in the short term. But as happens every year, we've been opportunistic. And when, things have come along, we've decided to experiment and see what we can do. So, for instance, the last thing, if you didn't notice that, we've also, taken to heart this business of revisiting things. So right up here we have cross-search. Which launched a number of years ago and really didn't take off the way that we thought it was, and we kind of kept it alive because we weren't sure what we wanted to do with it. And just recently we've decided that actually we're going to take that down, and we're going to eventually look at replacing it with something else. But that is actually gone now, and we're going to be dismantling it. Up in flames? I don't know. Anyway. Similarly, there's good news too. Crossmark has moved from project plan into development, and we're hoping to launch that. Well, we're going to be experimenting with running it on live systems this fall, and then hopefully we'll launch it early next year. Contributor ID has sort of moved into development, but under a new guise, and that's the guise of ORCID, which is an organization. It's not Crossref. We're not doing this. We're not exclusively responsible for this, but we're being very active in pursuing this and in working with the ORCID group to push this ahead. And we may hear a little bit more about that later on this week. ToyDoy, which was a sort of an experiment that we used to show how we could create a URL, effectively what amounts to a URL shortener for DOIs, because DOIs can often be very long and cumbersome, and we encounter people who want to be able to do things like tweet them and put them in print and other things. That was sort of a concept development put up on the Crossref web labs page. And it's actually now something that the IDF has taken forward, and they're actually going to be taking this into production, and so that's actually kind of moved out of our area again. And then we've got some little experiments that we've been launching, again, opportunistic QR code. This was an experiment. If you don't know what QR codes are, they're these two-dimensional bar stamps that basically you can put on print, and you can scan them, and they have data encoded in them, and you can, for instance, read them with cell phones and things like that. And we put together a little experiment to show that you could, in fact, encode a DOI like this. And if you point, if you had this on a poster session or in print or something like that, somebody could point their phone at it and actually immediately get the DOI link and follow it. And that's live on the, in incubation on the Crossref Labs site. Yesterday, if you were at the workshops, you heard me talk about two utilities that we've built in anticipation of launching Crossmark. One of these things is called PDF Stamp, and what it allows you to do is take a PDF and an image and a URL and provide a linked image on the PDF, and this is going to be a tool that publishers can use to add basically cross marks to their PDFs, and we've open sourced the code and we put it up on GitHub, and you can retrieve it and look at it and figure out how to incorporate it into your production process if you're planning on joining Crossmark. So that's gone up in incubation. Similarly, PDF Mark is a tool that we've built to allow you to add metadata to PDFs. Again, this is going to be a requirement of Crossmark to minimally include the DOI embedded in XMP metadata in the PDF. But we've actually built a tool that encourages you to include as much metadata as possible. So, for instance, one thing you can do is you can use the command line, pass it to DOI, it will look up your metadata and embed all of your Crossref metadata in the PDF. We have been working with the Concept Web Alliance on a few little projects, and one of the things that they wanted to do is they wanted to create, they knew that there were a lot of PMIDs out there, or things in PubMed that didn't have DOIs attached to them, and they wanted to see if they could use our reference resolution tools to try and match those things up. And they did some crawling of the PubMed site and used our matching tools. And then basically we took that data and we put together a little service that we're running at the moment experimentally that allows you to convert any PMID into a DOI. And that this experiment that we conducted with Concept Web Alliance allowed us to identify an additional 3 million articles in PubMed that should have had DOIs but didn't. And now you can actually find them using this. And then last, but I think perhaps one of the most important developments, is something that was actually sort of triggered by Tony Hammond here writing to CrossTech and pointing out something that we've been aware of for quite a while, which is that DOIs were often being rejected by semantic web advocates as identifiers in semantic web applications because DOIs did not follow a convention of the semantic web, which is to use what's called content negotiation to basically ask for a machine-readable representation of data as opposed to a human-readable representation of the data. And so we worked together. Tony came over, and we worked with Lee Dodge and other semantic web people to come up with a proposal on how we can semantically enable DOIs. And then we worked with the IDF, and the IDF has actually put together some an experimental proxy demonstrating this, and we hope that we're going to actually be able to push this forward into a production system so that DOIs from now on will be considered first-class semantic web identifiers. And so that's, again, in incubation. And all of these things you can actually find if you go to the CrossRef Lab site. We, link to them there. We've got bits of documentation and so on and so forth. The one thing I have to emphasize is that you should read these weasel words because this is a lab site and it's down sometimes and it's experimental and we're playing around with it and it breaks. Don't depend on any of the things there, but please do go and have a look and play with them and experiment with them. And if you're particularly interested in things, you've got to let us know because then what we can do is we can go to the board and try and get these things advanced. So, for instance, there's a QR code generator. Again, anybody here have a QR code reader in their phone? Point it at that, and it will link you to an article by Alan Rainier and Carol Palmer on the semantic on strategic reading. And these are instructions for PDF mark. And PDF stamp. Here's the PMID to DOI lookup system. This is the CrossTech article that Tony and I put, blog posting that Tony and I put together, proposing an actual way of semantically enabling DOIs. And I'm sure all of you are really eager to, launch your terminals and type in these commands, and then you can actually test the semantic enabling of these DOIs. That's it. Thank you. Any questions? I'm happy to try and take them.